Blog Talk Radio.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Sound really ridiculous when I say that. Sorry about that. That was kind of creepy. We're going to be bringing Sean McGrew on here to start the show tonight. This is Real Dog Radio, and I apologize if you tuned in earlier and suddenly everything went blank. I'm still learning this this Blog Talk Radio format, and it's really weird. And I'm just kind of a bonehead. Yeah, Kyle, I'm restarting the show. Yes. Somebody let Kyle Waltos know. Yes, we're restarting the show. Yes. Yes, and check Twitter for the link. Hold on, guys. Just to add to more of my frustrations. Anyway, but if you're just joining us, I apologize for all the miscue there to start out. Probably by signing day, I'll have this thing figured out, and we won't have that problem anymore. Anyway, we're going to be having Sean McGrew on here just as soon as he gets called in, which is what he's supposed to be doing. And I've got a notification here from someone. And then Lars is going to be on here in about 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. And should be a good show tonight. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of review quickly what we talked about earlier that I didn't get to or that you didn't get to hear because I had to restart the show. And that is that the news of the day, of course, is that Scott Woodward is taking the job at Texas A&M and is heading back to the, well, almost to the south, but he's going to stop in Texas, which is still about 400 miles closer than Seattle is. He's from Louisiana, and the fact that he's heading back is not a super big shock because, you know, he's just, that's his, this is part of the country. His family's back there, his mother. And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons why he would want to be a little closer to Louisiana than he is right now. You know, he came to Washington in 2008 and he's been a real good athletic director. I think he saw the program through some real difficult times and he's leaving the program better than he found it. That's for sure. So, and there's a lot of talk about Jen Cohen or Stephanie Rampe, who have been senior associates to the athletic director up until now. And some of the guys are kind of going, oh, we don't want a female athletic director, you know, because they still have this taste in their mouth of Barbara Hedges. This is a different day, a different breed, different animal completely. Don't worry about that. If it's Jen, she is really, really good. She's very good. And so I sure wouldn't hold on. No, Kyle, you shouldn't. No, same time. I wouldn't worry too much about that. She's Jen really is into the football program, and she's just cool. She's just a tough lady, and I think she'd make a great athletic director. So, and I don't know. You know, University of Washington is a public school. So at this point, I'm not clear yet, and I don't think anybody is, on how they're going to go about doing this, if they're going to just go ahead and exercise the right to promote from within, or if they, you know, legally, I think they have to open the job up and post the job. So we'll find out more in the days ahead. I expect there to be some sort of official announcement at some point coming up. So anyway, Sean McGrew is going to be calling in here pretty soon, and we're going to talk to him. As you know, Sean is from California. He was Gatorade Player of the Year, running back, and he didn't get invited to the Army Bowl, which really kind of I don't get it. I you know, it just is what it is. There's some guys that didn't, then I just don't, sometimes I just wonder, you know, and I'm on the network that does the selecting, and you know, Sean's been very celebrated and heralded as a you know, elite running back, and yet he didn't get the invite. So I'm not sure what that's all about, but I don't think there's any reason to dwell on it, because if you look back over the years of some of the guys that were never on the any of the All-American teams that didn't get invited to some of those bowl games. So I'm going to go ahead and get Sean on the line right now. I'm going to bring him in. Hi, Sean, you there?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How you doing? I might need you to talk up just a little bit more if you could.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. So, Sean, talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing during the off season to prepare for coming into Seattle.
Well, after the season ended, kind of just took some time off, let my body heal, took a family vacation for New Year's, and kind of just got back this week. And this week, just getting back in the swing of things, going to some beach workouts, and working out this with Body by Trey and some other guys that we do with David Long and Miles Bryant, some other recruits.
Yeah, you know, and I was just talking about it, and you may have heard it. I had, you know, and I'm not trying to touch on some sore subject or anything like that, but I just wondered if you ever got any feedback as to why some of these All-American bowls passed you by. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think the Semper Fi Bowl, thought I was going to get invited to the Army game because I got, like, a nomination for that. So my
yeah.
coach didn't really, like, hit him up for me, and then I ended up didn't get invited to the Army game. So, I mean, I wasn't really bummed out. It wasn't a big deal to me. Just gave me more motivation to come back this off season and work harder so I don't get overlooked again.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good attitude. But I know you're cheering on your buddy Camilo down there, and certainly I know both you guys were working on David Long, and it's my opinion he's going to wind up at Washington. But what can you tell us about Camilo and the friendship you and him have struck up over the past few months, and both going to Washington?
When we both ended up committing, actually, he came down to Southern California for a weekend. To just hang out and get to know me since we're going to be roommates and stuff. So it was pretty fun. And we just talked about recruiting and guys that we wanted to get on board with, at Washington, talked to Coach Peterson and our position coaches on which guys they wanted us to go after. And so we pretty much just texted back and forth sometimes and say, like, you talking to this guy? How's he feeling about us? And just stuff like that.
How do you foresee the class shaping up here over the next couple of weeks? I mean, I know they got some big time guys on board left, like Jonathan Kongbo and Levi Onwuzurike, and certainly David Long and some of these guys. I think Siobhan McKinley's going to Notre Dame. You know, that's my feeling. But they offered a guy yesterday named Johnny Huntley from Florida, who's a receiver. How do you see this class shaping up from where you're sitting? And you don't have to divulge any insider info, unless you want to.
Well, I think our class is shaping up to be great. Right now, we have a lot of guys that are really good and that can come in and contribute. And we just need a couple more of those guys just to fill our class. And David Long's obviously one of them. And Javon, he's been one of the guys that's been going after the hardest recently, but looking like he's going to go to Notre Dame, which is okay because there's still more guys out there. But David Long, been building a relationship with him, and that's who I've been like working out with in the off season so far. And when he gets back from the Army game, I'm gonna keep working out with him. So I think me and him have built a pretty good friendship, and I think he can see me, him, and Camilo being good friends up at Washington, which is a good thing, because I don't think he really knows anyone at Michigan.
And Sean, what's your exact height and weight right now?
Right now I'm 5'8", 175.
And just for listeners who, you know, sometimes guys, they don't even follow recruiting until January. They just suddenly turn their laptop back on and log back on, and then they have to refamiliarize themselves a little bit with what's going on with the current class. But what was your best 40 time?
My best 40 time was at Bosco, actually. We have, like, the same, like, electric system that the Nike Spark has. And I ran a 4.37 at a practice.
Good.
I think my going into my junior year, and then this year in the off season at the opening, I ran a 4.38. So
that's
pretty close times.
And did you run any track this? Are you going to be running any track this spring?
Not this spring, actually. I'm actually going to enroll early and come to Washington in the last quarter and come in for spring ball. But last year during track season, surprisingly, I got second in state, which I wasn't expecting at all.
Yeah.
I ran a 10.55, which was my fastest 100. So pretty proud of that. If I was going to run track this year, I was going for 10.4, 10, or 10.3. I was hoping to run those times.
Yeah, and I know there was also some guys that already enrolled, Daniel Bridge, Gad, Taylor Rapp, Miles Rice, who was from last year's class. But how well did you get to know guys like Taylor Rapp, and did you get to know Daniel Bridge, Gad at all?
The last unofficial I came on for the Oregon game, Daniel was taking his official visit, and I got to meet his family and him right before he committed. And he's a great guy, and just can't wait to get up there and just build a better friendship with him.
You know, it just looks like Washington's just getting this embarrassment of riches of really good offensive players to come in and accent what's already there. You know, obviously Miles Gaskin just shot out of the gate this year, and I don't think many people saw that coming. You're coming in. Mm-hmm. And then they got Bridge Gad coming in at quarterback, and I think he was an absolute steal. I think he's a guy that, you know, it's like – I bet the coaches were just holding their breath until he finally enrolled, you know, so thank God, you know, he's in. Because I think if it had gone on longer, I think a lot more schools would have gotten in on him. But it just kind of seems like, you know, there's something real special being built there. Is that the sense you get, and are you excited to be a part of that?
Yeah, definitely. Super excited. Coach Pete's definitely, he's doing a great job with recruiting and getting his type of guys up in the program that he wants. And, I mean, it just started with the season. What I saw was that we were predicted to win, like, two games or something like that. And to come out and finish the season with a bowl game win, finish 7-6, I think is great. Mm-hmm. And just momentum building into next season with how young our team is, and it's just going to keep growing.
Well, they definitely overachieved, and a lot of people thought they were going to do. Now, when you get up to Washington, we talked about your height and weight right now, but do you have a ideal play weight you want to get to when you get up there?
I'd probably say close to 190 because I played this season at 180. And I think once I get up there, I want to gain probably 10 more pounds or even maybe get up to 195, if that's even possible.
And Sean, what did you finish the season with? What were your all your rushing yards again? I'm not remembering that right now.
I had 1,866, and then I had 300 receiving yards and 30 touchdowns.
Any regrets? I mean, about your high school career, or do you feel like you accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish?
The only regret I do have is just. Is not finishing, not ending my senior year as a champion. I mean, wanted to get a second ring, of course, to put on my finger after my sophomore year, and we came up short my junior year to Corona Centennial, and then we ended up doing it again my senior year. But at the same time, we both as a team we had a great season, and I think people still like talk about us as being the best team in the country because they know we came out against Corona this year and we didn't play like ourselves. And down by 21 at halftime, just turning the ball over and just stuff like that. This is a big thing I regret about my senior year. Other than that, I'm happy with it.
Well, and, you know, you're in the very blessed position that you have a real bright future with your skill. You know, I mean, you're going places, and I think you're going into Washington at a real unique time. You know, it's just Coach mm-hmm. Peterson is just – he's building a champion, and I can see it. And tell my listeners a little bit about why it was that you chose the Huskies in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, The big thing was just to find a school where I can feel at home at, and kind of just let my heart make the decision. And just going up and visiting Washington and seeing how beautiful it is. I mean, every school has great facilities, great coaches, and just everything. But Coach Peterson and his Built for Life program and what he instills in his players, just how to be real men and just how he takes care of his players. And I think my parents really like that. And they know mm-hmm. that once I get up there, I'm going to be in good hands, which was a big factor to my parents. And, I mean, that's what led to my decision to join the Huskies.
And what do you major in? Do you know yet?
Not sure yet. I've been thinking about it, but still haven't been able to make up my mind.
Yeah. So when will you be up there? I mean, when is your start date as far as classes?
I think the last quarter starts March 28th. So I think around that time.
You'll be
sometime in March.
Ball?
Yeah, I'll be there for spring ball.
Okay. And that's awesome. And do the coaches, you know, they don't usually make promises they can't keep just to get guys in the door. What did they tell you about coming in and how soon you might see the field and in what capacity? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think I've any coach in this recruiting process told me that I'm going to come in as a freshman and first day on campus, I'm going to be the starter. I think they want me to come in and compete the best as possible with Miles and make Miles the best running back possible. Just me and him battling for the starting spot is going to increase our game to a new level. And whether it's me starting or him, I have no problem. I'm just going to do whatever the coaches tell me to do for what the team needs. And whether it's moving around, playing slot receiver, coming in the backfield, I'll do whatever the coaches ask.
Yeah, but what a tandem, you and Miles. It's like, wow. And when you were up there, did you get to know Miles very well?
I got to meet him one time, just hello, because I think it was before a game. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I follow him on, Twitter and Instagram and stuff, but we haven't really talked much.
Right.
But Coach Bonifa tells me he's a really nice guy, and I'm excited to get to know him.
He is. He's a really, really good kid, and he's local, and I'm sure he's going to take you right under his wing. And the other question I have for you too, Sean, is how is your relationship with Coach Bonifa? These assistant coaches sometimes are kind of unsung heroes, especially now because mm-hmm. – you got in the door early and the running back recruiting was pretty much over. That was it. And so I just want to hear a little bit about what he's like as a recruiter and as a guy who's going to be your running back coach.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I committed, even before that, he had me call him every week. And right now he calls me because I think the coaches get – or right now it's a dead period. But I think – they get like one free call a week. So him and Coach Peterson both call me every week just to check in on me, see how I'm doing, and just to see how my training's going right now and how I feel about mostly just recruiting other guys, but also just how I feel about their program, if I'm still solid and stuff like that. So they've kind of just been there and just built a good relationship with me and my parents. And a lot of other coaches didn't really do that, and that's why they stood out to me because they kind of really recruited me personally. Got to know me, which was really cool.
Do you know what your number is going to be?
I'm hoping I can come in and wear number 5, but if not, it doesn't bother me.
I'm trying to think. I don't think that's being worn right now by anybody on offense that I can think of. But I know number 1's taken and number 9 and 3. And what are your thoughts on Jake Browning? Because obviously you're going to be playing with him at
mm-hmm.
quarterback. What are your thoughts on Jake and the kind of season he had?
He had a great season. I thought he stepped up and played really well. As the season went on, he got better and better, which is all you can ask of a freshman quarterback. And I think as he keeps growing, he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah. Okay, so Lars is on. Are you there, Lars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Lars Hansen has joined us. He does exist. We are not the same person, just in case anybody wondered, because there are people that have seen Lars and me both in the same room. So, anyway, Sean McGrew's on the line with us, and now Lars. Lars, did you want to talk to Sean? I know you guys have gotten to know each other a lot better than Sean and I have.
I want to ask Sean, you know, with the news of Mika Juarez, is that more or less just kind of the way things go in terms of Washington not being at that level of a program yet in terms of, I guess, kind of being able to seal some of these guys early? Or, you know, kind of what are your thoughts on that?
I think, didn't Mika drop us from his top three recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think I've been talking to Camilo, and he said that we're still in the running. But, I mean, me and Mika are from the same city. We're both from Torrance. We know each other pretty well. And he's kind of just looking for a program where he can just come in early and make an impact and just can major what he wants to major in school and just have no limits. Pretty much, that's what he told me. But I think we still have a pretty good chance of getting him. I don't think he really did drop us from his top three, because I talked to him probably on like a weekly basis, and he was really loving us, loving his visit, and was really high on us, and said that between his top three, Ole Miss, UCLA, and us, that he didn't know where he would go if he had to choose, like at that moment. So I think we still have a good chance.
Take it, Lars. I'm tweeting.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to add, you know, kind of the way has Washington kind of talked about your role, given that Chico McClatcher is already kind of in that wide receiver running back role. Is that kind of the mold they see you in? And do you anticipate kind of, I guess, splitting time with Chico when you come in as a freshman?
The coach kind of just told me he's going to I'm gonna come in and just play running back, and then they're just going to see what I can do after that. But main priority is just to come in and learn the offense at the running back position and get my feet wet there. And then eventually, as I learn the offense a lot better, they'll start to move me around.
Okay. And the kind of the way Washington's offense sort of exploded towards the end of the season against Oregon State, Washington State, and in the bowl game against Southern Miss, did you kind of see the offense starting to evolve as the season was progressing, or did you not really anticipate, I guess, that big of an offensive output towards the last three games of the season, given the team was so young on offense?
Well, I could, at the beginning of the season, kind of struggling offensively, and I knew that as the season went on, they're going to get better. It's just how young they were, and it happened. And I mean, I was kind of expecting that. And I'm just excited to get up and join that offense and make them even better.
Good deal. And I guess, was there any obviously, you haven't second-guessed your decision since then, but was there a little concern in terms of the offensive output? You know, obviously, with them being so young, but just having, I guess, such a lack of spark, I guess, in the offense in that early part of the season, in your opinion?
Can you say it again, please?
Was there like any concern with you in terms of when you saw the offense not really get going at the beginning of the season?
Not really, not at all. I mean, the big thing I was kind of looking at is just like looking at the offensive line, and I know they're really young, so it's gonna be cool for me to get up there. I think they had three freshman offensive line starters this year, and like two sophomores, so they're really young, and I think by the time I get there, they're gonna be able to mature and open up huge holes for me and Miles.
Good deal.
Well, all right. Well, I do want to thank Sean McGrew for joining us tonight. It's been great to hear from you, Sean, and we'll look forward to seeing you in spring ball. And what are your plans for signing day? Anything special? Are you going to have any kind of ceremony at your school or anything like that?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a ceremony at my school because we're going to have, I think, about 11 kids signing letter of intent, so it's gonna be a big group, or there might even be more than that. We could have like 15 if some of the seniors that don't have any offers yet pick up some small schools, which will be awesome.
Anybody coming up in your football program there that we need to keep our eye on going into 2017?
2017, our quarterback Riyal Mitchell. Well, he's actually I think he's 2018 class. I don't know if we have any 2017 class that we're going to get offered by Washington. But we have a senior receiver who's kind of like a late guy who would be like, if we didn't get any receiver commits, that the coaches would look at him and then offer him. Jared Bell, he's a 2016 guy, and he's 6'2", like 200 pounds. He's just a big guy, kind of. It's kind of the mold that the coaches are looking for right now at the receiver position, some big, tall playmakers, and that's what he is. So hopefully he can get an offer so I can get one of my teammates up there, up to Seattle with me.
Have you talked to the coaches about him, like Bush Hamden or anybody? Or
Yeah, a little bit. I've sent him his film, sent Coach Pete, talked to Coach Pete about him. They all really like him, but they just want to see what Javon McKinley and some of those type of recruits do first before they make a move on him.
I gotcha. Well, I was going to ask you this, too, and I you reminded me when you talked about 2018. Now, Washington, you'll be there in 2018. Washington got a very early commitment from Jacob Sermon, the quarterback that's up here. Have you had much of a chance to do any research on him and what he's all about?
Actually, not at all, but I will soon because I know I'm going to be playing with them probably my senior year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good one. He's a good one, and I think they did well getting him in the door early. So, all right. Well, if you're just joining us, we've been talking to Sean McGrew, the running back from Bishop O'Dowd High School, and he is going to be signing his letter on February 3rd. Is it the 3rd this year? Wednesday, the 3rd. And he's the man. He's the running back that's going to come in and carry Washington's offense all the way to the national title game. No pressure, Sean. None at all.
Yeah, no promises on that one, but I'll try my best.
Well, you know, you can make that a goal. But we've been talking to Sean, and we're gonna go ahead and move on now. We want to thank him. If you missed this, I will be putting the link out to the archives broadcast on Twitter a little later. And again, I don't take calls now for questions because it's just too goofy. So if you have a question for Lars or me, and Kyle Walters is going to be on here shortly, who covers Husky Hoops. If you have any questions for us, you can always ask us on Twitter, and we'll be looking at those direct messages or tweets to us, and we can answer those questions. So thank you again, Sean. You have a good January, and enjoy the rest of your, what's left of your senior year, and congratulations on everything you've accomplished. You've got a lot to be proud of, kiddo.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me.
All right. Not a problem. So, Lars, where have you been all day?
Driving across the wonderful state of Washington, where people don't know how to drive in the fog, especially on the eastern side.
Well, they don't. They don't. And you've gotten a taste of what it's like to be over on this side of the mountains and how horrible it is, Ice Station Zebra out there. Before you came on, I had talked a little bit about how I believe that Jen Cohen would be a really good choice to replace Scott Woodward as athletic director. Have you even heard any of this? Because you were on the road all day.
Yeah, it wasn't really surprising when Scott was basically named as or announced that he was going to go to A&M because Michael Young, the president, was already down there recently and having done that job. And Scott hasn't been as involved in the program recently in terms of, you know, in the past he would kind of come down and be there for the Apple Cup. I didn't really see him exchange anything with Coach Peterson at the Apple Cup. And that's not to say that, like, he doesn't like Coach Peterson or anything like that. He just hasn't been as hands-on in the program as he has been in the past. And obviously, a lot of that had to do with the stadium. But, you know, Scott's kind of taking a back seat. And, you know, if you want to – he's done as much as he can for – I guess not as much as he can, but he's definitely done a lot for the Washington program and getting a guy like Chris Peterson here and then, you know, obviously renovating the stadium and everything else that he's done. So I think he deserves to kind of move on and – obviously, he's from the South, he's a Louisiana guy, so getting a chance to return to SEC country is going to be nice for him.
Yeah, you know, and I was just reminding fans to not flip out and say, oh, my God, another woman athletic director. We don't want that. Because Husky fans have a sour taste in their mouth about why things ended up with Barbara Hedges. This is a completely different thing. Now, have you met Jen Cohen?
I haven't met her, but No, I haven't met her, but I do remember that when Chris Peterson was hired at Washington, it was, I believe it was Scott Woodward and Jennifer Cohen that went over to Boise to talk to Chris Peterson
right.
and his wife. So she hasn't, she's been involved as much in the program as Scott Woodward has, you know. So it's not a weird hire from that sense. And I think, you know, the whole Barbara Hedges thing, you can, it's almost like trying to bring up Ikea Malloy and everything that went on way back when. You know, there's really no point in trying to compare Jennifer Cohen to Barbara Hedges because they're two totally
yeah.
different people. And Washington's totally in a different set in terms of where they are in their athletic abilities now.
Yeah, well, I agree. And I think Jen's terrific. And I would be, you know, if I was a Husky fan or a donor, I would be really happy because she's got a lot of grit in terms of being a woman in this business, but she's very into football, very into the football program, very into the hoops program. And she's into the women's sports, of course, naturally, you know, but she's a really good fundraiser from what I understand. So turning from that to recruiting, I'll talk about my guys, but I want to hear a little bit about my guy, your guy, my guys. Lars, people don't realize how much we argue about this, but at the end of the day, we kick butt on recruiting info because we're both really stubborn and really good at what we do. But I wanted to ask you, Lars was going, yeah, sure. You don't know how creepy Ruth can be when she gets mad. I wanted to ask you about Johnny Huntley, and what your take is on that, because you talked to him yesterday. You broke that story that he got offered. I put in a quick call to him last night because his number came across my desk, and then I put a little update up on him. But then today he goes on Twitter and says, I'm solid to Colorado. What's your take on that, Lars? I mean, are you hearing anything? Because I just don't – it just seems odd to me.
Well, when I talked to him last night, I talked to him actually ironically 2 days in a row. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he was really talking a lot about Syracuse and having a good relationship with the coaches up there and taking a visit the first weekend out of the dead period. And I almost thought he was going to flip to Syracuse just based on what he was talking about, you know, having a long-standing relationship with the coaches up there. And then he gets the offer from Washington, and I asked him point blank, I said, is this an offer where you could turn right around and commit? And he's like, and he told me, yeah, that's possible. That's most likely the case. However, I'm going to talk to my parents tonight, and we'll all break it down and go from there. And I guess that conversation with his parents turned into, we'll stick with Colorado and let that be that. Now, there's, you know, the rest of January to, you know, go through recruiting. But, you know, I guess if he wants to shut it down and remain committed to Colorado, you have a rare case where a kid decides to actually stick with his word. So, you know, we can kind of, you know, play it by ear, but I think, you know, when he talked to his parents last night and they decided that Colorado was the place for him, where he's already committed, I guess he's going to stick with that. And Washington still has, you know, a few other options. They've been looking at, they obviously have Chris Taylor Yamanoa and a few others others that haven't gotten offers yet. So they're not out of wide receiver options yet from that standpoint.
And that was what I got to ask you about, too, because, you know, obviously I think you and I are both in agreement that Javon McKinley is going to Notre Dame. And it seemed kind of the timing of the offer to Johnny seemed kind of concurrent, because I know you've watched this going on for a couple of weeks now, and you knew it was coming down to that. But that was kind of concurrent with Javon McKinley coming out and saying, I've already made my decision. I let the coaches know. So if Washington already knows they weren't going to get Javon, they would have naturally started opening up the doors. So what's your take on where things stand with a guy like Zach Farrar out of Texas? Because I know he was really high on the radar when Brent Pease was here, but now that he's gone, what do you think of that?
Well, it's ironic that the first offer that Bush Hamby makes, and when I say that, I mean the first that isn't kind of reaffirmed in a sense, like Chris Alejandro, but he goes and offers Johnny Huntley, who is from Florida, where Bush Hamden used to coach, and Brent Pease had a lot of deep Texas ties, and that's how he was able to have a strong connection with Zach Farrar. I know I talked to Steve Ferrar, his ex-fan, who said that Dak is still interested, but mm-hmm. it doesn't sound like there's that connection or that interest, that mutual interest, I should say, both from Washington and Ferrar to kind of, you know, have the interest level that he used to have when Brent Hughes was the coach. So I think, you know, they might, that door is probably, you know, open metaphorically, but if Zach, you know, sees some other options or feels that maybe there's a better fit and Washington kind of starts to cool on him, I kind of think that's the case now, you know, with Zach Farr.
What are they getting with a guy like Aaron Fuller? Can you talk a little bit about what he brings and what kind of receiver you foresee him being?
I see him in kind of that Dante Pettis role in terms of he's a smaller guy, not the world's biggest guy, but he's got good hands. He's a good possession receiver for a small kid, which doesn't usually equate. Usually you think of a 6'4", 6'5", guy who can be a really good possession receiver, but he's not Chico McCutcher fast. He does have some speed to him, but he's more of a possession receiver from what I've seen and from what I've been told. So they're getting a 5'11", 175, 180 in that range. I don't know what his measurables are right now, but I know that's what he used to be at. And so they've already got a smaller guy in this class, and they want to go for that big 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", receiver now to get another guy in.
And also, I wanted to ask you about Devin Asiasi. People always ask him, he's on the visit schedule. And I think you said you had some notes on him, and I did read those, but what's your take on where things are at with him right now?
Well, what I was told today was that when, because Boss Tagaloa, his De La Salle teammate, are also visiting, I would not be surprised if, because they're both going to decide on signing day, make their signing day commitment, kind of, you know, they're not going to make a decision before then. I think, yeah, from what I've been told, I would not be surprised if Washington ended up with both of them when all said and done.
Wow.
And that's what I was told. That's what I was told today. by someone who I would not go out. I would not take. You know, it's not like a stand on the street sort of thing. I would take this definitely with some sincerity that. When I was told, I kind of, you know, take a step back and clarify that that's what this person was telling me, and that was the case. So I think from Washington's standpoint, if you miss out on a kid like Javon McKinley and Nike Warriors, and then you're still able to get Devin Asiasi and Boston, oh, I think you can be happy at the end of the day.
That would be really good. And you had, and I don't expect you to talk about that on the air, but is this part of that text message you sent me when you said it was going to something?
I only use that expression because I was driving and I had to do the same. and obviously, you know, make sure that I was understanding what I was told. But, obviously it's not, I don't want to say that they, like, no decisions today, because obviously they have other reasons to take, but it wouldn't be shocking if
right.
both of those two facts in that letter went to Washington on the 3rd.
Yeah. Well, also, it keeps coming up that, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying, oh, God help me, I'm not trying to take any shots or be a snot to any other reporters out there covering the Huskies, but to say that Washington has no chance at Levi Onwuzurike is just wrong. They are in it for Levi Onwuzurike, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it there. They're in it. Would they take him and Kongbo both? Yes, they would. So I'm putting that out there, and that is the truth. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it, and I trust what I know on this. And speaking of Jonathan Kongbo, I can assure you, no one except maybe a coach or two knew last night that he was going to decommit before he decommitted. So if anybody's saying that they told him, they're just telling a little lie. And that's all I'm going to say on that. But I think Washington is in really, really good shape for Jonathan. And I want to reiterate this because I said this in part one that got deleted because this radio show was freaking out. And that is that there's a lot of databases out there that have Jonathan listed as visiting Alabama on the 15th of this month. That is not confirmed. He's never said he had set up a visit to Alabama on the 15th. Up until I spoke to him, which was Monday, he had not set up a visit. It was Sunday night or Monday. I can't remember which. But he had not set up a fifth visit. And he didn't know if he was even going to set up a fifth visit. And so if you are a publisher out there listening to this and you have him down as visiting Alabama on the 15th, take it out until he tweets out and says, I've set up a visit to whoever on the 15th. He doesn't have anything set up on that date. And he's told me straight up over the weekend or whenever that was that he doesn't have anything set up. So he is visiting Washington on the 22nd. That we know. So yeah, I really like the Huskies' chances here. I just do. And I crystal balled him to Washington back a month ago or about 3-4 weeks ago. And I'll explain why I did that after signing day. Anyway, do you think we're going to have any surprises, Lars, aside from the one you just talked about that could wind up Washington's way?
I don't foresee any major surprises. I was told today, you know, obviously McKinley is going to go to Notre Dame, or, you know, obviously don't want to ruin that, but obviously that's been what kind of the general consensus is. Congo, I don't think would be a surprise to anyone.
No.
David Long obviously wouldn't be a surprise to anyone to choose Washington. The only, I don't want to say surprise, but I guess the question mark would be, who is then the second wide receiver they take?
Right.
And that's not going to be a surprise. I don't see any, you know, majorly, you know, 4 or 5 star wide receivers choosing Washington or flipping to Washington. And also that's a knock on Washington, but that's just not the route they're going down right now. So that's really the only question mark thing I have right now is a wide receiver. Everything else I don't foresee as a surprise, at least, you know, from what I've been told, but,
you know. Yeah. I don't think so either. That doesn't mean that these are not huge, you know, newsworthy commits. If these guys that we've talked about wind up coming, I mean, that's big story stuff there.
Yeah.
So even if it's not shocking, that doesn't take away from the impact of it. This is huge. And, you know, Sean was just on here. I know Camilo Eifler was texting me, too, from the Army Bowl. I don't know if he was texting you. Probably was. They keep saying, don't step on me, Kate. But, I don't see that happening. I wouldn't count out Alabama for him either if he goes down and visits them, because I just don't know what's going on at UCLA. And we've talked about that. And Jim Mora finally came out and said, well, I'm staying. So, you know, it should have been, well, I'm staying because nobody in the NFL wants me right now. So I still think that situation down there is a little tenuous. And then USC hired Pendergast today, if I'm correct. So all that's left is for Oregon to try to get a defensive coordinator. And, I know that Pete Kwiatkowski's name has come up. And I'm sure he's probably getting a good chuckle out of that, but I don't think he's going anywhere. So I don't know who they're going to hire. But I can imagine that that's been kind of a deterrent in their recruiting efforts, but I'm sure they'll still finish strong. At the end of the day, where do you see this class coming? Say, do you think they make it into the top 25?
Well, I think I did the class calculator projections a while back, which 24/7 uniquely has, and I love it. And I think there were certain guys that, you know, I was kind of trying to fiddle with and see where they would go. But Washington would definitely finish in the top 25 if they had a guy like David Long, Jonathan Kongo, and then a couple other, I guess, quote-unquote, surprises or bigger prospects that decided to sign with Washington. I think this class could definitely end up in the top 30, if not top 25.
And, you know, it's interesting to see how well this coaching staff has recruited, you know, considering that, you know, Washington's still pulling themselves up by their bootstraps at the program. I mean, that's still going on. They were predicted to win 4 games this year. They won 7. But, you know, remember the deterrents that said, oh, Coach P can't, will he be able to recruit in the Pac-12? Is it fair to say that that question has been answered now?
Yeah, obviously he can recruit in the Pac-12. It's just a matter of can he get the nation's, you know, elite, more than just 2 or 3 elite 4-star guys, because he's already got Sean McGrew and Camilo Eisner.
Right.
And then if you add a guy like David Long, that's 3. You know, this class kind of could be that building block. I think it does. And you're that building block the next 2017 class, where the numbers are going to be small, and they really have to kind of take a lot of those guys out of the equation that are maybe what they were like when Sidney Jones signed in 2014, or yeah, I think it was 2014, where he's a low 3-star guy, offers late, and then they're able to coach him up. But they were able to take a lot of guys in that class. And this year and next year, they're not going to be able to do that. So they're really going to have to go after the elite 4-stars and 5-stars. And they've already been doing that. So I think this class will kind of be a check mark for Chris Peterson in terms of being able to recruit in the Pac-12 without a question mark. And then next year is more or less going to be, can he recruit at an elite level in terms of can he get a 5-star or 2, and, you know, majority of the rest being 4-stars. And that's not to say that he can't recruit in the past or he doesn't do that. That's more of a security on an Alabama level. So,
well, I mean, isn't it really about player development, though, at the end of the day? I mean, look at UCLA. They returned 19 starters this year. You know, and like I've said before, I'll pull out. Let's take Miles Jack and Eddie Vanderdoes out of there. Their roster's full of 4- and 5-star guys, and they finished bad. And so, and this surely isn't an indictment toward any of their coaches on that staff, because I like a lot of those guys at UCLA. You know, Eric Yarber is certainly one of my favorite people. I'm not trying to take shots, but it's about the system. It's about development. And so at the end of the day, these rankings are great, but you have to have a staff that's going to develop these guys. And obviously Chris Peterson has proven over the years that he can do more with less than a lot of guys can do with more. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of one of the things Chris Peterson was known for when they hired him, was being able to find some of these kids who, you know, and granted, Sidney Jones, I think, was committed to San Jose State and then committed to Utah. So that would have been a steal for Utah. And Kyle Whittingham, who's proven recently that he's able to get to coach at an elite level in the Pac-12. But, you know, to get some of these guys that are not well-known and then turn them into all-star kids and all Pac-12 kids, you know, that's not an easy task. And you have a coach like Jimmy Lake who is able to recruit without question in terms of an elite level, but then he's also able to find guys like a Sidney Jones. And then, you know, the staff is without question known, and they've shown that they're able to recruit elite guys and sign guys like that, but then also find those diamond in the rough guys and let them coach them up and turn them into what would be 4- and 5-star level players.
Yeah. Well, and if you're just tuning in, this is tuning in. This is Real Dog War Radio. Lars Hansen and I have been talking tonight about recruiting. We talked to Sean McGrew earlier. If you missed that, you can always get the archive show, which will be posted within about 10 minutes after this show ends. We're going to be having Kyle Waltos, our campus beat writer, coming up here in just a couple minutes to talk a little bit about the basketball team. But quickly, before we move on to that, I wanted to kind of go over what we've got going on visit-wise. And on next weekend, or is it this weekend? It's this weekend. No. Why do we have – oh, I'm looking at – okay, yeah, January. We've got Devin Asiasi, David Long, Van Soderberg, Nick Harris, and Luke Wattenberg coming up. That should be a big weekend, but is that that's listed in our database as Friday. Along with that same group, because it's listed as Saturday, is commit Jacob Kaiser, Boss Tagaloa. Is that still happening, Lars?
Yeah, Devin and Boss are both taking that visit together.
Okay, yeah. And then Chris Taylor, Yamanoha.
Yeah.
Happening? Okay.
Yeah, he's the three-star kid, the three-star wide receiver who committed to Louisville and kind of almost in the same sense than like David Long, where he was choosing between two schools, Washington and another, and then committed to another school and then could still end up being a Husky because of how interested he has been throughout the process in Washington.
Okay. So that could be a pretty productive weekend. And do you expect that any of the guys that aren't committed could pull the trigger that weekend, or do you think they wait till signing day?
Well, obviously, Devin and Boss are two guys that no matter where they go, are going to wait till signing day. Yamada would probably either commit on the visit or, you know, take a couple of days. Because I know Peterson likes it when kids visit and then, you know, go home and think about it for a couple of days and then really make sure that they know what they're doing instead of just commit on a whim on a visit and then call the coaches a couple of days later and say, hey, kind of regret it, need to rethink what I just decided to do 2 days ago. So there could be a few other decisions, but I think most of them are going to be shortly after a visit, except for the two De La Salle kids.
And real quickly, Husky fans, don't forget that on Saturday it is the Army All-American Bowl. We'll be putting out more details about that on the website as far as the time and where to tune in and whatnot. And you can get to see future Huskies Camilo Eifler and Luke Wattenberg play. And our guys from 247 have been down in San Antonio all week, and they're continuing to post some videos and things. There was no practice today, so everybody had the day off. So we're going to hopefully get some more stuff flying in tomorrow. Kyle, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Kyle Waltos, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I need a clap track. Kyle Waltos has been working for us this fall, and he has done an amazing job. He just has been kicking butt, following the Huskies and going to practice and posting the video blogs and doing the post games and all that stuff. And I just wanted to get him on tonight to talk a little bit about the basketball team because they've been doing some kind of crazy stuff. What can you tell us about this game coming up, Kyle?
Well, I think this is a game where Andrew Andrews is going to have to take over like he did last year. Last year he had a career-high 35 points down in Pullman, and this will be their first true road test because the other games were one, they had a game in China, they had three games in the Bahamas, and I think for them to win this game, I know WSU isn't the greatest team in the world, but they're coming off a big win versus UCLA, and I think Andrew Andrews is going to have to at least score 25 for them to win this game because I think they're going to be a little bit nervous coming out of the gate.
And, you know, this is a young team. My feeling earlier on in the season, and I'm kind of a jerk because that they were playing UCLA, as you recall, texting you going, this is brutal, they suck. And then it was like, oh, well, my bad. Do you kind of see that there's some gelling going on? Because part of my complaint early on was that it was like, God, these guys, they're just not playing together. You know, they're not setting up shots. And do you see that kind of getting better and better as they go along?
Yeah, I really do. And Coach Romar said the same thing. You know, he's really starting to see it in practice. And, you know, just watching these games, they go through spurts where you're like, wow, they are just not very good, just not good at all. But then they go through spurts where you saw versus USC, they go on a 43-19 run in the final 12 minutes to win the game, and the spurt in the second half versus UCLA to win the game. And they're really starting to come along. And Andrew Andrews has even said, he's really starting to see it in practice too. So I think by the end of this year, I think they're going to be a pretty solid team.
Who do you think has been, is there anybody that has surprised you so far at all?
I think Malik Dime, he's been, I knew he would be a shot blocker, but I mean, he's already 10th all time with 40 blocks in the University mm-hmm. of Washington, which is insane. I mean, losing Robert Upshaw, I thought that would, He's the best shot blocker I've ever seen come through the program. And Malik Dime, he's probably not as great as a shot blocker, but he's been pretty close. And I think scoring-wise, I mean, he's averaging, you know, double figures. And I think that as the season goes along, he's just going to get better because, I mean, he's only been playing basketball for 5 years. So I think next year, his senior year, will even be better.
And has Lorenzo Romar addressed much the turnover problem, because that's just kind of, you know, this goes back again to them playing together as a team and not passing, not throwing a pass out to the, you know, the Holy Spirit who's not there at that moment. I mean, has Romar talked much about
that? Yeah, he has. He's been most frustrated with just the ill-advised passes. I mean, some of the fast breaks where they go for the home run, they just kind of throw it up, and that's what he's been most frustrated with. But I think he understands with this young of a team and the tempo they play, they're going to give up some easy baskets, some backdoor baskets, and they're going to turn the ball over. That's just kind of the way they play. But I think overall he's pretty happy with what's going on these last couple games.
Yeah. So tell us what's up next for the basketball team. They play Saturday?
Yep, they play Saturday at 12 o'clock, and that will be on the Pac-12 networks. And then after that will be a really big test going down to the desert and taking on Arizona and Arizona State. And that road trip will be that'll be a good measuring stick to see where they're how good they really are this year.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Kyle, for coming on. You've been doing a have you. I want to thank Lars Hansen, who's one of my favorite people that I like to push around sometimes, but he pushes right back. So we're a good pair. Good things are happening with recruiting. Don't forget, tune into realdog.com from here until signing day. This is the place to be. If you sign up now, you can get the entire first week free. And we have two spots left on our scholarship list, which is kind of cheesy, but it's what it is, because I know the economy is tough for some people. And if you are having some trouble and want to get on, just shoot me an email or hit me up on Twitter, and we'll see if we can get you a complimentary subscription until after signing day. And I also want to thank our guest, Sean McGrew, and it's an exciting time to be following Husky Recruiting. Thank you again. Everybody have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you back on here in a couple of days.